This is Money in Motion with Class Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. And welcome back to the Michael Kugut Show, particularly Class Financial's Money in Motion. Answers to all your retirement questions in one place. ClassFinancial.com is the website. That's KLAAS financial.com, KLAAS financial.com. Joining us in studio this week, Malia and Steve. Steve and Malia, welcome back.
Welcome back to you, to the Midwest.
Yes.
Yes. Good morning, Mike. How was your weekend?
It was great. Spent a lot of it driving back to the United States. it was across a whole lot of the United States. And I'm very, very happy to be back here in the Midwest. And Steve, you're a big Cubs fan, I know. That was quite a shocker last night, that ending.
That's for sure, I tell you.
Yes. Okay. So we've chatted about this the last couple of weeks, but I know as we discuss retirement planning, which is what these segments are primarily about, it always, to me, sounds like a big component that you need to deal with is estate planning. And I understand we're going to be talking a little bit about estate planning more today.
Actually, we are. You know, Mike, this is one of those areas that really when it comes down to your total retirement planning, this really has to be part of the whole picture. And as investment advisors and financial planners, that's what we spend most of our days doing, is making sure you do have all the pieces in place. Because if we are doing our job correctly, it's not just about, okay, how much can you make in a year? It has more to do with how are you going to share this this estate of yours in the event you're not here to enjoy it all. Because what people typically do is they don't know when they're going to die, and they need to have an action plan that says basically the same thing that they would verbally say today in the event they're not here to say it. So we're going to spend some time talking today about what you need to have alongside your investments, which would include wills, trusts, and power of attorney documents, and just remind our listeners how important these are. First of all, we just like to always disclaim we are not a law firm. However, we do work with a number of really good estate planning attorneys in our regions that we can direct our clients to. So the first point we want to bring out is that it is very important to have an up-to-date estate plan. Now, up-to-date, what does that mean? Well, some people are really proud when we say, do you have an estate plan? Do you have a will and trust and or whatever power of attorney documents in place? And they go, oh, yeah. I said, well, when did you do those? They go, I think it's been about 25 years when the kids were little. And so Steve and I sit there and we go, yeah, it's probably time you pull those out. You review them again because they might not say what you thought they said way back then. In fact, you might have had more kids. You might have had grandkids since. So it's really important to have that estate plan up to date as you're getting closer to retirement. So what we look at is by the use of wills and trusts, looking at what's going to happen when you're no longer here, how your assets are going to move to the next generation, how they're going to move to your wife, how they're going to move to perhaps kids and grandkids. So whether your estate is large or small, you do want to make sure you have some basic components. One thing people will tell me is they'll say, well, I went online. I did wills.com or whatever, their LegalZoom. We're not a big fan of those simply because a lot of things get missed. And that's where we're more comfortable with someone being able to guide you and tell you what needs to be put into place, how you need to label your actual investments, register them, and so forth. So very important to look at what you need. Not everybody needs a grandiose plan. Some people just need a simple will or a simple beneficiary document that says what they want to happen. But if you do good estate planning, this can actually help you with your tax hikes that you might face in the future. What that means is in the event you pass away, let's say you and your spouse do, if you added up all your investments plus your home plus your life insurance, we might be getting up to a very sizable amount. And there's this thing called a federal estate tax. Now, it might not be something you or Steve or myself need to worry about, but other people out there might. Right now, the federal estate tax exemption is $5.45 million. So if you add all up what you have, if it equals more than that, that's the amount that your estate could actually, they would be exempt from. But anything over and above that, they could be taxed at as much as 55% over that $5.45 million limit. The reason we bring this up is this is a moving target. If you go back 20 years ago, it was at 600,000. It has meandered up to 1 million, 3 million. And it's something that the federal government at any time could say, let's just go retro and make that a lower amount. If it were back to closer to 1 million, it would affect many people while you add in the life insurance and so forth. So our point here this morning is no matter how great you might do with your investments, if you're not looking at the whole picture for yourself, you may in fact end up your estate paying undue taxes in the future.
Interesting. And we should remind our listeners as well, we will be asking the cost quiz question of the week, a $25 gift card for Home Depot. For the first person who answers the question correctly, we will be giving the answer to the question in the as we have this discussion here. You'll hear the answer and we'll ask the question later. You need to call 815-877-8440 if you call that and you're the first person with the correct answer, you can win a $25 gift card for Home Depot, 877-8440. Let me take a step back a second, Stephen Malia, and ask, does everyone, like everyone, really need a will and or a trust? And I've heard you use both of those terms. What's the big difference between those two terms, will and a trust?
You know, that's a good question, Mike. And one of the things, as Malia was pointing out, is that first point of fact is that there's 100% probability that everybody will die at some point.
Yes.
Secondly, when you look at your estate, as Malia pointed out, whether it be large or small, how do you want your stuff handled when you pass away? That's really what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. For a will, it's geared for individuals that may have less property or assets that need to be distributed based on that will. It is also, though, public knowledge. And for a will, the time frame or process where you go through probate courts for the probate judge to, in fact, declare that that is your last will and testament, then the process can easily take a 6 to 9 month time frame on average in Illinois. With a living trust, for example, it's more of what I would call pre-probated type of estate where you have more private confidential decisions and direction going on. It does not go through probate. And with that being the case, there's a little bit more of a cost typically for an attorney to write it up front because there's more detail to it. In either situation, you can be as simplistic or as explicit and detailed as you want to be. The living trust, for example, does carry that on for an extended period of time if you choose to do so. The thing that you also have that many people may or may not be aware of is in most states, including Illinois, if you just haven't gotten around to a will or a trust prior to your death, the state of Illinois has what they call an intestate will. So they've already determined how your stuff would be distributed if you've decided not to or had not had the time to decide on your own. And that can be a real negative for most people when it comes really down to how that works. For an intestate will, unlike most wills, trusts, and or beneficiary arrangements, your surviving spouse would only receive half of the assets that you would own. The other half would go to your children equally, per stirpes, if you had children. If you had where your spouse passed away before you did and you had no children, then it actually is distributed to your immediate relatives on a per stirpes basis, which simply means it's split out equally, proportionally, I should say, as to each of the surviving relatives. So there are things involved there, but one of the other retirement planning areas that sometimes people forget about is that your beneficiary arrangements, any account that you can place a beneficiary arrangement on, automatically avoids probate. So for many people, if their retirement assets and or their home, which now in Illinois you can actually add a beneficiary onto your home, you can avoid probate just with those types of moves there.
And I can hear some of our listeners saying, that's great. I really want to avoid probate. That's the worst thing in the world. And tell me again what a probate is. We're going to tell our listeners, or Stephen Blee are going to tell you what a probate is and explain that after this on Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome back. Before the break, we were speaking with Steve and Malia about probates, and that's something we want to avoid. Steve or Malia, would you mind explaining to our listeners what exactly a probate is and what it refers to?
Great question. I know we throw out terms and we get a little bit in the weeds sometimes, so it's good to come back and talk about the basics. And so to be clear, probate is simply the court process by which a will is proved valid or invalid. So, probate, what does it mean? It's just a process that's done in the courts. So most people, if possible, like to avoid the courts. That's the bottom line. The creditors show up, you know, they're trying to make sure the estate, that they've received what they're supposed to receive. And as Steve said, if you have a will that's a public document that someone can go down to the local courthouse and read what was left to whom with a will, because it's all come out in probate. Whereas a trust, the act actually is kept as a private document, and anything put into a trust does not go through probate. So that's a big distinction. So when a person dies, his or her estate must go through probate. In the case it has simply a will, it'll be overseen by a probate court. Now, probate can get expensive. That's another thing people overlook. They go, well, I'm just going to get a will because I heard that trusts are more expensive. And it's true, they are. But you're not going to be paying for the cost of a court as you will with the will. And depending on the size of the estate, you could be paying 2 to 3% going forward. So what we want people to understand today is that wills go through probate administration, whereas trust assets are not part of a probated estate.
Okay, so wills go through probate administration, courts essentially, and trust assets are not part of a probate estate.
Exactly. Wills will. That's what we're going to say. Wills will go
wills
through
will.
Probate.
Okay.
And so just keep that in mind as you're doing those documents, what might make more sense. And as you're appointing those executors of those wills or administrators of trusts, let's just say, we've said this a few times, that's not like the greatest gift on earth to be able to be that person. So make sure you take care of them in your will somewhere.
Now, what about power of attorney documents?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mike. There are really, again, two main power of attorney documents that we bring up for our clients. And again, we always reiterate, we are not attorneys and we do not write the documents, but we do recognize the importance of them within your estate and retirement planning process. The power of attorney for property, as I try to explain to people, is the document that would designate who could legally sign your name for you to access your account, pay your bills and things like that if you're unable to sign your name. For example, if you're in an accident or had a health issue and you weren't able to sign your name, when that becomes important, because sometimes I'll have clients say, well, you know, everything's jointly owned. Your retirement accounts are not and never will be jointly owned. They are owned by each individual. The other spouse may be a beneficiary, which is after death, but they would not be able to access that account while the other spouse is still living without the power of attorney for property. The other one I'm referring to is a healthcare power of attorney. And again, many times you may even have heard of a living will before, which is really geared more specifically to final death type of decisions. If you choose not to be on life support when there's really no quality of life, with the health care power of attorney expands that in addition to that area, it also covers when there are decisions that need to be made with regard to physicians and access of other types of information. So it is more of an expansive document from what we understand, and the healthcare power of attorney typically is the one that would be more preferable than not.
But we run into the situation often where our clients maybe don't have an up-to-date power of attorney, and here comes somebody into our office wanting to exercise what they believe that they're the power of attorney. And that, so it really becomes critical that these documents are updated regularly. And we're always going to speak slowly when people are asking for information if they're not a current power of attorney legally. So those are important documents to make sure you have in place and updated on a regular basis.
Yes, powers of attorney. And it's really important that you choose someone who you trust to be your power of attorney, of course. I know that that's something that is often overlooked, how important these are. Okay, at this point, we are going to ask our cost quiz question of the week. The first person to call 815-877-8440 with the correct answer to the cost quiz question of the week wins this week a $25 gift card for Home Depot. And here we go. The question is, which estate planning document goes through the probate process upon your death, a will or a trust? Again, which estate planning document goes through the probate process upon your death, a will or a trust? 815-877-8440 is the number to call. First person wins a $25 gift card for Home Depot. 877-8440 in the 815 area code. Steve and Malia, we covered a lot today, but we have a couple of minutes here to get into anything else that we didn't cover with regards to wills and trusts, or anything else at all you'd like to add before we wrap up this week.
Well, I think it's just really important that people say, okay, I'm just trying to get my budget together. I'm trying to figure out how much I should be putting away for retirement. But for them not to overlook these other items, they really are critical. I know people don't, like I said, they don't like to go to court unnecessarily. They don't like to hire attorneys unnecessarily. None of us do. But these are, you know, you work your whole life to put away your assets, to build your wealth. It would seem to me it's worth the time to sit down. And we always tell people, at least I do, you know, put it on the calendar. You're going to meet with the attorney, you know, in a month. And so that you actually do your due diligence, figure out how you do want to split things. Guardianship for custodianship for small children. These are all important issues that need to be talked about and actually written down.
Yes. And estate, the word estate, sometimes people think, oh, does that mean I have to have something at the level of like Graceland and
right.
Elvis Presley's estate?
True.
No. I mean, anything. Your home. You could have a small three-bedroom home. But my wife and I live in a small three-bedroom home. You know, if God forbid something were to happen to me or my wife, we'd be talking about our estate. That's our estate, all of our assets, essentially, right?
Exactly, Mike. And that's the point that we make, is your estate is your stuff, regardless of size, and how do you want it handled when you pass away. You know, the other point that Malia made a few minutes ago is with regard to who do you choose to be your trustee and or executor, because it isn't necessarily a blessing that you're chosen. Sometimes by default, it may be the oldest child, and that may or may not be the right choice. So
right.
It is a process of decision and elimination to a large extent.
Yes. And you should probably think if you are kind of getting ahead of the game, again, no one knows when the Grim Reaper is going to pay us a visit. It's probably smart to make your executor. I guess I'm just thinking out loud here. Someone approximately of your generation or perhaps younger. People don't normally make their parents their powers of attorney / or executors as well, right?
Because sometimes we see that, but it's a constant thing you need to look at and adjust, and it's not a decision for forever, is what I like to tell people, because you can modify it. So just make a decision today, get it down on the paper, but the likelihood that you're all going to pass away the same day probably is not going to happen.
Right, and then occasionally, as we point out, blow the dust off of it every few years and make sure that it's the directions are still as you want them to be, because things definitely will change as time progresses.
Yes, and while Kloss Financial is not a law firm, not a law firm, and does not provide legal advice, they can give you consultations on the things we've been talking about today. So if you want a free consultation with Kloss Financial, call 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440, and set up an appointment. They'll walk you through your situation and give you advice and consultation on what some smart things are as far as retirement planning and other things go. KlossFinancial.com is the website, KLAASFinancial.com. Stephen Malia, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Mike. Have a great week.
We will be right back on the Michael Coolidge Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.